From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
I tell people it's never too late to have a wonderful and happy childhood. They say, what? Yeah, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. Well, how do you do that? Change your mind. You see, a human being can overcome any setback, any distress, any accident, any debilitation, but there's only one thing that a person can never overcome, and that is the quality of the way you see things. And God is saying, that's what I want to do. I want to renew your mind.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon. You know, we live in a day when we're told how we should think, and most of it is from a worldly perspective. But when you read the Bible, you begin to see how God thinks, and that can shed a whole new light on our circumstances. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us that it's our choice. We can see life as bright as neon, or as being dark and shadowed. Here he is with a message entitled, The Invitation.
I want to talk to you about the invitation today. The invitation that God extends to each of us so that we'll be a people worthy of that redemption that he had paid for us. But first, let me give you a fun story about an invitation, an uncanny invitation. The story is told of a businessman, astute and very sharp looking, walking downtown when he was accosted by a homeless man. But this was no normal homeless man. This guy had wild hair, made him look like a wild man of Borneo. He had flashing eyes, missing teeth, and he was shabby as can be, and the pungent odor went before him for about a block or so. He grabbed this businessman. He said, sir, do you have any loose change? Like $5 or $10? And the businessman said, if I give you some money, are you going to use it for food or beer? The guy says, beer? No, I haven't touched beer in 10 years. He said, okay, and if I double this, are you going to use it for a bed for tonight, or are you going to go and use it for golf? Homeless man goes, golf? I haven't golfed in 20 years. He said, good, I want you to come home with me. I'm going to give you an invitation. And the invitation is, you're coming home with me. You're going to sit at the table with my wife and myself at our dining room table, and you're going to share in a meal with us that my wife, which is a fabulous cook, just cooked. He thought, man, this is the kindest man I have ever accosted. He thought, wow. But he said, but won't your wife get furious for what you'll do? He said, oh, no. It's important for my wife to see what a man looks like after he's given up drinking and golf. I like his thinking. It's not correct, but I like his thinking. I want to talk to you about an invitation. And the invitation is extended to you, and the invitation is this: to think like God thinks, and to see what God sees. How many of you would like to think a little more like God thinks? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, but here's the kicker. In order to think more like God thinks, you have to see like God sees. It's in the book of Matthew that we find the scripture, Matthew 6:22, and it's going to come up on the screen. And let's read it together. Would you read it with me? Go. The lamp of the body is the eye. And if your eye is clean, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light that is in you is darkness, how great shall that darkness be? When it says the lamp of your body is your eye, it's not talking about your eyeball. You see, you really don't see with your eyes. You actually see with your mind. You actually take a look at this eyeball. It's basically an ocular lens that sends an optical image through the nerves to the occipital lobe of your brain. And all it does is it archives the data. It is your mind that defines that data as good or bad, light or dark, friendly, unfriendly, fun and adventurous, dangerous and cautious. It's your mind that interprets those images that ocular lens through the nerves delivered to that lobe. And it's your mind. You can see something as fun or you can see it as dangerous. For example, someone looks at a rock ledge and someone says, whoo, one person says, that's dangerous. You could fall from that and die. That's dangerous. Another person who's a rock climber can go, wow, that is my weekend adventure. I want to be on that rock cliff. It's not your eye. It's the same image. It's the mind that's interpreting it as up or down, fearful or adventurous. It's your mind. That's where your imagination is lodged, because you can imagine the worst or the best. You can imagine fear or confidence. It's up to you. In fact, worry is a misuse of your imagination. You see, the same thing as someone else does, someone says, oh, I'm in trouble. It's your mind that really sees, not your ocular lens. It just delivers. And that's why God speaks so much about the importance of renewing the spirit of your brain. No, the spirit of your mind. And he says, I want you to develop the mind of Christ so that you can begin to see how God sees, so you can cooperate with what God is doing. Otherwise, you can be a Christian and still have a mind that has been non-renewed, and everything looks bad. Everything is hard. Everything is down and dark. And God says, I want you to renew the spirit of your mind, not just your brain, your mind. And otherwise, you'll worry, because you'll begin to misuse your imagination. A fun story I tell, and you've heard it before, some of you, but this guy was desperate for a job, and he was looking through the classifieds, and finally he saw one, Joe's Appliance, hiring immediately, executive pay, but you must apply in person. Well, he looked at that, the address, and jumped in his car and drove down, found this industrial area, and there at the backside of some warehouses was a little sign that said Joe's Appliance. In the window, now hiring. So he burst in, and it was filled with appliances needing repair. And over in the corner, a frail old man was repairing a toaster. So he goes in and says, excuse me, sir, are you Joe? And man stammers, yes. He said, well, I've come in to apply for the job. Can you work starting tomorrow? He said, yes, sir, I can. You're hired. He said, that's it? Yeah, you're hired. Wow, he said, well, what do you want me to do? Repair appliances? No. Oh, what do you want me to do? You need to worry for me. He said, worry for you? Yes. That's it? Yes. I'm your man, he said. He said, can you start tomorrow at 8? He said, I can. Wonderful. So he starts to walk out. When he turns around, he says, excuse me, how much does it pay? He said, $100,000 a year. Whoa, he said, $100,000 just to worry for you? Yes. I'm your man. He said, wow, this is so cool. And he paused and he looked at all of the appliances and he says, you know, Joe, this is kind of a humble appliance shop. It's tucked away in the back of the industrial lot. And you're going to pay me $100,000? He said, just a question, sir. How are you going to do that? And the man said, that is your first worry. It's your mind, and your mind can see things good or bad, worrisome or with confidence. It's up to you. And the scripture tells us that, and often when the scripture talks about our mind, he links it with the heart of man. That has to be converted, brought into salvation, and the mind renewed. When that happens, entering through the door of redemption, things start to change. Your heart changes, your mind changes. And that's why the scripture says in the book of Philippians, don't be anxious or don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then it says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, Satan is a headhunter. Your mind is his battlefield, and your imagination is his trophy. Satan is a headhunter. Your mind is his battlefield. Your imagination is his trophy. He may not be able to change your brain, but he can help you change your mind for the worse. And to help you to understand that, I brought a little object lesson, all right? So here I have a white balloon. What color is this?
White.
All right, so this is gonna represent your brain, okay? This is kind of like a normal brain, okay? What color is your brain here, or the balloon, sorry? White, all right, so that's a normal brain. Yeah, this one, that's a Portuguese brain. Okay, wait a second. And this is when I don't remember stuff. It's the brain, anyway. I can't say certain things because this is church. So let's say this is your brain like this. Now, here's a light back here, and I'm gonna turn this light on, and there'll be some lights turned off a little bit, but what color is the balloon? Red. Okay, what color is it now?
Green.
All right, what color is it now? Yeah, but you said, what's the color of the balloon? White, but what is it now? Blue, yeah. What color is it now? Pink, purple, or whatever. Blue, yeah. Yeah, see, the brain stays the same, but what causes it to change colors is your mind. The way you see things, it actually can color things good, bad, bright, dark. It can go white, it can go red. It's your mind that God says we have to renew. So what is this here? What color is it now? Yeah, what kind of brain is that? That's a woman's brain. She keeps changing her mind. Just joking. I'm just joking. Just joking. Don't write me letters. And here's a Portuguese losing his mind. Okay. All right. Okay, here, I got to find my mind again. Yeah, all right, thank you. I was lost, but now I'm found. You see, what I'm trying to say is there's a difference between your brain and your mind. Some people become Christians, and we've got good brains, save an accident or learning problem, but basically the normal brain, we all have good normal brains, but our minds need to be renewed in Christ. Our heart needs to be redeemed by the cross, and then our heart is going to be renewed by the Spirit of God. And that's why he keeps saying when you come to Christ, you need to renew the spirit of your mind. Let's read what it says. Not yet. Oh, sorry. Missed it on my notes. But our problem is our mind has been trained by the world. We've been trained by college classes or atheists that say, no, that's a fable. No, and our mind here gets changed, so our brain is still the same, but it colors the world incorrectly. And God says, I want you to renew the spirit of your mind. Has been trained incorrectly. And you can come to Christ and God redeems your heart, but have an untrained, unrenewed mind. And the rest of your even Christian life is like, man, this is hard. Man, that's dark. Man, that's not good. Man, that's dangerous. And the Lord says, no, let's renew the spirit of your mind. Our minds have been trained by stuff like Facebook or other kind of social media. In fact, by the way, I was doing some study on Facebook and I wanted to see why they started Facebook in the first place. So I went to the very first president of Facebook, and his name is Sean Park, and he was actually just recently at a event called an Axios event, and he was in an interview. And I want to put this up on the screen so when I read it, you can actually see why they put all of this, the purpose behind the development on Facebook. Facebook needed content because they can't develop content. But if they can get as many people as they can to post content, then your sphere of influence will start to look at it. But they had to figure a way to give you little cookies along the way to keep you giving them content. And here's what he said. The thought process was, how do we consume, that's what they were thinking, as much of your time and conscious attention as possible? And that means that we give you a little dopamine hit every once in a while because someone liked or commented on a photo or a post. And that's gonna get you to contribute more content. It's a social validation feedback loop, exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology. And then he said this to close it: God only knows what it's doing to our children's brains. And so what happens is we get fed by these things and our mind goes funny. And we start seeing things the way the world wants us to see them. We start thinking the way the world wants us to think rather than the way that God wants us to think. Then we get doubtful, fearful, cautious, selfish. And we have to have God renew the spirit of our minds. I'm going to put up a word here and just read that out for me, would you? Here's the word. Go. Read it. Yeah. God is nowhere, but it actually can say God is now here. It's how you see it, you understand? So you can see things differently. Most people see it as God is nowhere. But you can say, no, now God is now here. It's not the balloon or the brain. It's the mind that God wants us to see things correctly through. Because God has put together such a beautiful and convincing world of His love and magnitude of His glory for us, but we can't see it. Why? Because our mind has been trained incorrectly. So God is saying, renew the spirit of your mind. And I want to talk about that. Just recently, Anna was taking me to the airport, and so it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and a taxi cab drove by right in front of us at 3 o'clock in the morning. And she said, whoa, I wouldn't want to be a taxi driver. You wouldn't know who could get into that car. And I said, no, I'd love to be a taxi driver. Do you understand all the adventurous people you would meet? And she said, oh, no. I said, you know, honey, it's funny. We both see the same taxi, and one sees it as fearful, and the other sees it as adventurous. I said, honey, you got to not let your fear tell you what to think. She said, oh, I know, I repent. And I said, that's perfect theology. Do you know that, honey? She said, what do you mean? I said, the word repent in the Greek is metanuos, which actually meta means change, and nuos is your mind. So repenting means changing your mind. Changing your mind about how God is, how He loves us, what I get to be in the face of Christ and His embrace. I just changed my mind. I used to doubt. I'm not going to doubt. It's a choice that I make, not what I see, not what my brain says. It's what my mind says is correct. And I'm going to change the way I think. I thought, boy, that's it. Because it's not our brain, it's our mind that needs to be renewed. And that's why the scripture says this in Romans 12, 2. Let's read it together on the board. Read it, go. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now notice it says that you'll be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. How will we be transformed? By renewing our minds. We all have good brains for the most part. I have some cousins that I doubt, but our minds. And we need to change that. Let's read this next scripture out of Ephesians 4 as he talks again about renewing our minds. Go. Lay aside the old self and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, not brain, mind. Continue. And put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God. It's an invitation to see what God sees and to think as God would think. You see, a human being can overcome any setback, any distress, any accident, any debilitation. The human mind is amazing. They overcome all kinds of stuff. But there's only one thing that a person can never overcome, and that is the quality of the way you see things, the quality of your thinking. If your quality is poor, you'll never overcome anything. But once you raise that, you can overcome pretty much a lot more. And God is saying, that's what I want to do. I want to renew your mind. I tell people, it's never too late to have a wonderful and happy childhood. They say, what? Yeah, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. Well, how do you do that? Change your mind. Define it differently. Because it's not what happens to you, it's how you define what happens to you. Whether it's going to be up or down, light or dark, profitable or something that's debilitating. A lot of times it's the way you see it. One of my earliest remembrances of my mom was when my dad and mom were going through a messy divorce. We were living at Fort Shafter, just up here, and My dad was in the Army, and we were actually from Palolo, but after the attack on Pearl Harbor, my dad enlisted, and we were at Shafter for a while, but they were going through a horrible divorce a few years later. I was about 5 years old. My last memory was hanging on to my mom, pleading with my dad not to hit her anymore. Well, they got a divorce, and my mom, being a waitress, couldn't afford much, so we couldn't even afford the mortgage of our house in Palolo Valley. So we actually rented it out and lived in the garage of my uncle down in Kaimuki. And when that didn't even work, she had to send us kids to live with our dad that had remarried and was being deployed to Japan with the Army. My dad was very strict. He married a sergeant in the Army. My mom, my stepmom, was also in the Army. And you never want to be raised by parents that is a dad that's a sergeant and a mother that's a sergeant. Because they were extremely strict. My brother was sent to the hospital twice because of the discipline consequences. And I was afraid to go to PE ever because of the stripes, that the welts on my legs. It was at 13 years old, I was handed a suitcase with my clothes and I was sent to a boarding school 250 miles south on a Greyhound bus when we got back to the mainland. Didn't know anything about anything. Like 13-year-old kid, and I'm on my own. Went to San Francisco, didn't have any money. I was waiting in the bus terminal overnight when I was befriended by a kind man that seemed to want to have me come and have dinner because I didn't have any money. But the consequence of all of that, he had ulterior motives, and I was molested at 13. Felt guilty as I went to this boarding school, went deep into drugs, got kicked out of that school. Left home, ran away from home, dropped out of school. But at 19 years old, I received Christ. And later on, some people said to me, would you change your past if you could? If you could, wouldn't you have a much better past? And I at first wanted to say yes, but then I stopped and said, you know, I don't think so. What? They said, that was horrible. I said, I know. Why wouldn't you change it? I said, oh, God used it in a great way. No. I said, yeah. How do you figure that? I said, you know, God went way up into my future and saw the ministry that he would assign to me. And it wasn't going to be necessarily easy. There was going to be setbacks. There was going to be times that I'd get really financially under stress. There would be tough times. There would be moving, there would be giving away of people, there'll be people that wouldn't necessarily support, there'll be wonderful times, mountain highs, and there'll be valley lows. But to be able to outlast all of that, God said, I've got to train you for that, because that's a tough one. And if I felt that Harvard would train you for what I have in store, I would have sent you to Harvard. If I thought that Princeton would have trained you for that, I would have sent you to Princeton, but they won't train you for that. The only way that you'll get trained is through the depth of the valleys. And you're gonna hit some pretty tough spots, and there's gonna be potholes, and there's gonna be setbacks and speed bumps. There's gonna be bruises and pain. There's gonna be doubts you'll have to work through. You'll have to overcome and persevere through. But if you will let me train you here, you'll be prepared for what I have over here. But if you don't, you won't. So I love you. This is the best training you'll get. Are you okay with that? And for some reason, I must have said, okay. And so would I change it? Not on your life. No, because it gave me compassion for those that may get molested. And it helped me to understand those who are hurting, those who came from broken homes, or those that didn't have a real good background. Can God still choose and use you? Absolutely. Even if you don't feel worthy? Absolutely. He invites you to his table and watch what he has in store for you.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled The Invitation by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on our next broadcast. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
Let your request be made known to God. And then it says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, Satan is a headhunter. Your mind is his battlefield, and your imagination is his trophy. Satan is a headhunter. Your mind is his battlefield. Your imagination is his trophy. He may not be able to change your brain, but he can help you change your mind for the worse.
Now, this is Del Gibbs saying God bless you and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero, and I want you to be one of the first to know that there's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in our auditorium, starting May 17th with two Sunday services, 9 and 11 a.m. Our Bible College students, alongside our other members, will be serving and leading in worship. Our teaching pastors will be myself, along with Larry Powers and Aaron Cordero. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services starting May 17th, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.